Thank you for joining us on More Than That, a podcast where we dive a little bit deeper into what was preached on Sunday morning. We hope that this is enriching to your walk with Christ and that you love God and people that much more so that we can extend the glory of God to the people he has placed in our lives. So buckle up and enjoy the conversation.
Hey guys, I want to welcome you to More Than That. My name is Raphael, and I'm sitting here across with Sihle, and he just brought the Word of God for us on Sunday, and man was so excited over the fact that he came all the way from South Africa, and just getting to hear him and getting to be with him was just an exciting thing. And so we usually ask this one question. Sihle, if you had like at least 10 more minutes or an hour and a half like you threatened, so you put me on the spot, and you try to find out how long I preach, and and so if you had an hour and a half, what else would you have at least like brought out of that passage?
I think I was telling someone after the service that there was, I was not sure about the time, but so I kept thinking, oh man, am I too long, all of that stuff. But like there was actually an illustration that I thought was really good with what we are talking about, the gospel advancing, even in circumstances that are meant to harm the gospel. There's a story of, I think this lady, her name is Corrie ten Boom. I think I've read a story a while back.
The Hiding Place.
Yes. Her book, The Hiding Place. Man, I mean, just remembering his story, especially the story of when she was sent. I mean, people. I don't know if people have to sort of think through that story. So the story of Corrie ten Boom, she was arrested because she was hiding some of the Jewish people from the around the Holocaust time, but she got arrested with her, like she was with her sister, and she was sent to this part of jail where, man, just tough conditions, and there were fleas, and there were fleas, and man, they were really, really complaining about the fleas, and she was sort of talking to her sister and saying, actually, we need to thank God on about everything, you know, and but they were like, man, we're not gonna thank God. The sister was like, we're not going to thank God for the fleas.
Yeah.
And what has happened, because of the fleas, the people who were sort of guarding
they didn't want to go in
and sort of check on them. So they were able to do worship services without any hindrance. Yeah. They were able to share the gospel without any hindrance because of the fleas. That was supposed to be a bad thing for them,
but
thing ended up sort of being the conduit in which God was advancing his work. So I thought that actually that example was literally what we see with Paul. Something that is meant to harm the gospel, God is using it in such a way that is the one that is actually serving to advance the gospel. So that was probably one illustration I could have sort of slid in.
That's
there.
Good.
Yeah.
It's good.
Yeah.
And I really like the fact that you went back to, you know, the story of Joseph, you know. And I think you touched on some of it on Moses as well.
Yeah.
Just really like these stories of tragedy where I love Joseph when he says that like what you meant for evil, God meant it for good.
Yeah.
And then you went even this, you know, Jesus. And I think even in between there, you still see guys like your Jeremiah, your Isaiah, all these guys that just go through just terrible times.
Yeah.
And even Hosea.
I mean, the people of Israel. People of Israel. I mean, you think of the exile in Babylon. You think of all of these things just as the people of God going through all of these trials and tribulations and sufferings. But at the same time, these are the people that God is still weaving his story through, yeah, of the story of redemption. So it's just some of those things that we can't fathom. We just can't. I think it's Thomas Watson,
yeah,
in his book Providence.
Yeah.
And he's just talking about like providence. At the end of the day, we see providence in hindsight. It's like the Hebrew letters that you have to read backwards.
Yeah,
that's providence. And for us, when these things happen, even like, you know, the suffering in that happens in our lives, the evil that we see around us, most of us are just clueless,
yeah,
at that time of what God is doing.
Mm-hmm.
But the scriptures keeps us. Man, God is at work. God, yeah, is always, yeah, at work. Our sufferings are, mm-hmm, never wasted.
That's good.
So yeah,
that's good.
Yeah,
that suffering is never wasted, and that's, and I think it was great to see you connect some of that stuff, because last week I was talking about like just how Paul has this perspective, and which is a posture that God is still doing a good work, and so he's thankful,
yeah,
that God is doing a good work, and their situation is bleak and things are just going like that, but God is still doing a good work in the midst of that.
Yeah.
And I think at the end of it all, it goes now into the theme that we have chosen, joyful kingdom citizens,
yeah,
that our joy is not tethered to our circumstances, yeah, or like the fluctuations of things that are going on. Our joy is tethered to, has he moved from his throne yet?
Yeah.
Has his word ever failed?
Come on.
Has he revoked what he did at the cross?
Yeah.
Has he, and just as long as the king still is steady,
yeah,
his people should remain steady.
Man,
amen. Like, right? Like, just,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's a big thing that we see in the book of Philippians, mm-hmm, and what is happening with Paul and what this is teaching us, that with everything happening around us, God is sovereign, God is on the throne, and because he's on the throne,
yeah,
we can't be led to despair, we can't be led to be thinking that, you know, nothing is happening around us in terms of God's purposes. God is always at work. Yeah.
So how would you, and then this is like maybe just the question, you did such a great job, and just for me it was convicting and very challenging to think about, what is life? What have I called life? And some of us, I think we can actually like, what is the good life? What, yeah, is, what have I defined as life? You know, and you kind of just like, you say that like what we define as life competes against the gospel.
Yeah.
And Paul there just like basically looks at it and he's like, he looks at life from this triumphant view of like, for me to live is Christ, for me to die is gain.
Yeah.
I'm with Christ either way. And you're seeing his joy unaffected there.
Yeah.
And here, my question is, you know, here is a person who's going just through seasons of just, it's wave after wave. It's like Job.
Yeah.
Right when he's at that moment, chapter 1 and 2, like where it's like, yeah, while he was still speaking, the next person comes to give that report.
Yeah.
While he was still speaking, the next person comes. Man. Like, and there is a way in which then the Christian walk becomes, at that time, if you're facing wave after wave, it's a fight for joy.
Yeah.
How would you walk someone who's going through, like, man, like, it just seems like it's raining, it's pouring,
yeah,
it's a torrent, it's literally like,
yeah,
you know. Yeah, how would you encourage someone like that? How then do they really continue to find that, for me to live is Christ?
Yeah.
And for them to maintain that joy. And that's actually what I think one of our jobs is, to prepare, yeah, people to suffer well.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
How would you prepare someone, yeah, to suffer, yeah, well?
Yeah. I mean, we have to, because sometimes we can just hit at the symptoms, or we can hit, we just see the fruit of something, we're not hitting the real root of it. Because I think when it comes to things like suffering and people sort of losing that joy, we have to dig deep.
Yeah.
You know, how are they defining life itself? Because I think what we see in this text, Paul, even, I mean, these are the people of Philippi are waiting to hear the report about him.
Yeah.
Paul, how are you doing? You were in jail. All of these things are happening. Tell us, how are you doing? Paul doesn't talk about him. Paul talks about the gospel.
Yeah.
He shifts everything and he talks about the gospel.
Yeah.
And in there, there's an answer to these things. Because like you say, actually, what I want to talk about is what I'm all about. I'm about what God is doing in this world through the gospel.
Yeah.
That's how I define life.
Yeah.
And for us, especially pastorally,
mm-hmm.
what we need to do is to draw back with people first to say, man, let's chat in terms of what do you consider the bottom line of your life?
That's good. Yeah.
Has the gospel done a work in your life where your life revolves around Christ and what he's doing in this world? Because if you get there, then the question of suffering comes in a different light. It's not just about, if life is all about me and it's all about my achievements and it's all about my successes and it's all about my family and it's all about all of these things, and some of them, I mean, I mentioned
good things, yeah,
sermon, these are good things,
mm-hmm.
these are good things, but if you take them in a place where it's not supposed to be, and when they crash in front of us, that's where it hits us the most. And I think Paul is teaching us here to say, listen, you gotta have your bottom line in terms of what holds you, in terms of what is life to you, you gotta have that on check. Because if you've got that on check, then when circumstances change, it's not just about them, it's about how they affect the work of Christ in your life.
That's good.
And if the work of Christ in your life is the priority, then either thing, whatever is happening in your life, there's no lose, because at the end of the day, Christ is the one who's advancing in whatever is happening.
Yeah. That's good. And it just really takes you now back to, you know, the whole idea of like, what is your hope in life and death?
Yeah.
What is it that you've put your hope into, you know, and yeah, when it comes to that, it is also watching also Paul finding his joy in, like you were saying, in the gospel and its advancement and all that. When we tie our joy in lesser things instead of like bigger things like his kingdom and what he's doing, it can really then become, you know, we're tying our joy in something that's lesser than what we should be doing.
Yeah.
But what we see Paul in there is that we see him celebrating his fellowship with them.
Yeah.
Not only just fellowship in terms of brotherhood in the gospel, but also fellowship in terms of partnership in the gospel.
Yeah.
And there's a way in which, like, for Paul, he's finding the fact that, like, and even just, like, looking at, you know, just looking at, I'm chained. I like how at least you were looking. I'm chained, but what's the good that's coming out of this?
Yeah.
I'm chained to someone Christ died for.
I mean, think of that.
That like, is crazy.
Just think of that. Like,
he's
chained. All of these Roman imperial guards are chained to the most ferocious evangelist of all time.
Yeah.
And that's just like, for me, the irony of God.
Oh, yeah.
To say, I mean, you know, this is something that's supposed to be taking back the gospel. This is Paul was someone who's planting churches, proclaiming the gospel. Now he's confined in jail.
Yeah.
But at the same time, he's not confined.
He even says it that the gospel is not chained. That I'm in chains, but the gospel is not chained.
Yeah, it's not.
And I think that's maybe even as well just another way of like, hey, how do we fight for joy in those moments?
Yeah.
Let's ask for God. Let's ask God for eyes to see.
Yeah, perspective.
Yeah, perspective. Let's ask God to see. Like, God, what are you doing in this moment?
Yeah.
What's the good work?
Yeah.
The good work, is that Paul?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, sometimes we don't
pause
enough to look around us and think and reflect, Lord, this seems like it's a hindrance in my life. This seems like it's a bad situation.
Yeah.
But I'm going to pause and be prayerful and think, what are you doing? What are you doing? Mm-hmm. I mean, Paul says, which I love the way, like, it's a play of words here. You know, he says, all of these things have turned out, or they're going to turn out for my salvation.
Yeah.
He, in other translation, will say, turn out for my deliverance.
Yeah.
But it's the word there, soteria, is the word for salvation. Which is kind of interesting because, you know, is Paul saying it's going to turn out for my deliverance, meaning I'm going to get out of jail? But it's actually not saying that, because he's saying, I could either get out of jail or I could either die. So it's not necessarily deliverance in terms of him getting out of jail. Mm-hmm. He's saying, this will turn out for my salvation.
Yeah, yeah.
And with that, he's saying, at the end of the day, it's a win-win.
Yeah, yeah. That's good.
At the end of the day, this will turn out.
It will still turn out for the good. Yeah,
for
yeah.
the good.
That's that.
Yeah.
And that's, I think, also just the best way to fight for joy, just asking God, what are you up to? What are you doing during this time?
Yeah.
And seeing, and he's seeing what's meant to be enemies as allies.
Yeah.
And he's like, God is still jealous for his church.
Yeah.
He will use bad teachers.
Yeah.
He will use, maybe I'll let me pull back. He would use people who have bad motives and use that to actually plant the gospel even in there. Like, I'm just looking at that and just thinking, wow.
Isn't that humbling to us?
Like, yeah, it is humbling.
Us as pastors, because we're just like, man, look at that guy. Look,
look at
what Paul is just showing us something different. Like, I'm just trying to think, like, are you, you know, putting this back to you? Like, how do you... What has been your, has God been working or thinking, you thinking through what it means for us to celebrate the gospel being proclaimed, even in places where we might think, you know, the motives are wrong, the methods are bad, all of those things.
Yeah.
Maybe these are not one of us, so to speak. You know, but Paul is showing us a different way. How do you sort of navigate that?
No, I mean, the biggest part is that, like, I think this is what I say to someone. You know, Jesus in Luke chapter 10, he says the harvest is plenty, but the laborers are few.
Yeah.
Pray for the, you know, pray to the Lord of the harvest to provide, right?
Yeah.
So a lot of times it's pretty interesting that, you know, I've just become aware of the fact that, like, hey, that brother down the street, I might not agree. Maybe they don't fit into my tribe very well. I might like, but you know, some of these guys are just godly.
Yeah.
Godly, man. Yeah. Like, they might not know all their theology. Like, they might not, but yet they're just like godly, love Jesus, love people.
Yeah.
Maybe they're just meant to be like planters or, you know, just to get the people to a certain place. I just, like, have seen some of these godly guys, and the fear of God in me would say that, like, you know, just to be careful I'm not going against the prayers I prayed for God to send the laborers into the field.
Wow.
And then now I'm taking them out.
Wow.
You know what I mean? Like,
these are not my kind of laborers.
Yeah, and then, like, what are you doing? Those are not my kind of laborers. And God is like, hey, they're playing their position.
Yeah.
Let them do, you know, but I'm still sovereign. I'm still jealous over my church.
Yeah.
I'm still, because we think we have to literally just almost like chase every rabbit that comes out of the, no, it's just like, you know, there's,
Yeah.
We just need to be very careful. And some of that stuff, I think that's where we have to be able to come alongside and just maybe just get to learn a little bit more, listen a little bit more, do some more stuff like that.
Yeah.
I think that's what we're watching Paul do here.
Yeah.
And in fact, it gives me joy to see brothers and sisters who belong to the Lord, maybe don't belong to the same local church, getting together, getting to love one another, and actually really just like sharing fellowship with one another, because this thing, we should never be tribalistic about this thing.
Yeah.
You and I come from places where tribalism has caused more damage than ever can be, like we can ever imagine.
We know the worst of that stuff.
Yeah,
the worst of that. So, that's very good. Man, thank you so much for some of this stuff. I don't know if you have any more to say on this before we just transition. I'd love to hear just like a little bit more of like, man, how can we be praying? How can we continue to support what's happening? I just want, like, you know, for people probably they don't know this. We had Stephen earlier on this week.
Yeah.
Stephen Myers, we've partnered with him. He also supports you. But at the same time, he supported me in a million ways as well.
Yeah.
Just so rich. Like,
He's a good brother, man.
Great brother. So he was here in Williamsport. But like out of that meeting, we came out with like, we would love to see just like solid partnerships coming between us as churches. But like, I'd love to hear from you. How can we be praying for you? How can we actually come and just even support you even further as well as you're going? There's some things that like were kind of in the pipeline on how CTA is going to be supporting us as well as a church and reaching us as a church. So just be on the lookout for that. But what are some of the things we can kind of be praying and supporting and doing that?
Man, just to close off our conversation with the Philippians, I would just encourage just people listening to this, City Church, let's pray. Let's get into God's word. Let's not be content with just how the world is molding us. Let's be a people who dig deep in wanting Christ to be our main goal. Let it be for us to live Christ. I'm not saying I'm there. I'm praying that the Lord would work in my life, and that's just the work of sanctification throughout our lives. Mm-hmm. But let's continue, let's press on, and let's go for the goal. Christ is our goal.
Man.
So it's man, it's a joy. I mean, it's so interesting we're talking about partnership. I mean, that's part of Philippians, just this partnership that we see there. It's been a joy. I mean, I mentioned this at the church today, just to have. Just to see faces of people who are praying for us. To see faces of people who just being generous to us as a church. Some of them may not put their foot in South Africa, but they are part of what God is doing there through their partnership. So it's just been a joy to experience that. And our prayer, you know, you Stephen, is that how can we be a blessing to one another?
One another,
You know, God gives us differently.
Yeah.
Not just us individually, but us as churches.
You know,
your church is strong. I mean, I've learned so much on just different things. Just leadership development, group stuff, all of that stuff. I'm learning so much on Stephen, on prayer culture, just different things that kids, I'm learning so much with kids ministry, with both of you guys, just different ways that God gifts our churches differently. And for us, we are saying, man, how can we come together
and leverage
those gifts?
Yeah.
And that's what I'm excited about, man. I'm excited about that. Right now, we're just about to really beef up our kids ministry.
Okay.
We're getting a lot of young parents, young families.
That's awesome.
And man, we're trying to think, man, how can we serve them well? And how can we even be evangelistic and reaching more of them?
Mm.
And we're going to have to beef up our children's ministry. And that would mean, you know, just making sure we have infrastructure. We have toys for the kids. We have good curriculum. We have our teachers are trained well.
Yeah.
All of those things, which some of those things, you guys are more ahead of us.
Yeah.
And we're trying to see how we can partner and serve our church as well in that.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah,
because I was thinking about, I've just been thinking about like how Stephen's church, The Well, you know, they've come alongside you guys during their VBS and they've raised money and they've done, just sponsored like some of the things you're doing for children's ministry and stuff. I would love to see like our children's ministry also kind of get like just little boys and girls investing and other boys and girls getting to be in a space where they can get to know Jesus Christ. So they can. So I'm going to be talking through and maybe just working through that with even our children's church and our parents to see like how we can take part in that. And at the same time, and take part in that and we will at least be in touch with that. But we'll be also just, you know, we will also just be putting you guys obviously like on rotation just to be praying for you. Praying for what God is doing. You know. One of the things that at least I know has been so much of a blessing for me. Just you coming here. It's so easy for it to look like it's if it's just one way. You've just like you've really enriched me a lot.
Oh, thanks.
I was telling Tapelo. You know, I'm just telling him that like, man, it's been so good for me because we've talked, we've laughed, it's just so refreshing. But at the same time you've passed me through some stuff. And so that's really just been very, has been very good, and I appreciate that. And if people don't know this, like, sneaking into your church services, like, online, listen, and it's just been so good and so enriching to see how you are so, like, right now, Sitle has a resident, someone who's he's preparing to plant a church, and you guys are just doing that very well. Doing that very well, and obviously, as we prepare to do stuff like that, would love to be learning from you guys as well on that.
That would be great, man.
I
was reminding your guys today after the service, and just saying, man, you gotta remind Raphael to come to South Africa. We've been talking about it. We've been And looks like I've got some guys on the ground this time to hound you, so that you guys can come through. Because I just think it'd be good, man. It'd be good for you. It'd be good for your church. Just take some time and come see
we'll
us.
We'll make it happen.
Our church would love to see you. And just let's dream and see how we can advance the gospel.
How we can do that
in different partnerships.
That's what's up, man. What's up.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for coming all the way, and man, we are so grateful for you, and we're grateful for Letabo and the kids for even just like, man, you know, and your leadership, and we're gonna be praying for you, but at the same time, we're just looking forward to seeing how God continues to use Renewal as a hub for even church planting all over Southern Africa. So, thank you so much for that.
Thank you so much, man. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
I mean, just the last thing, I do want to say that I'm really grateful, man, just for our partnership in our church, specifically for you. You and Stephen, I don't know if you remember, like you and Stephen... put your heads on the block and supported me and supported our family and supported our church plant.
Yeah.
When it was just on paper, when there was nothing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
When there was just nothing, you know, just prayer. We're thinking of this and that. And you guys were like, man, listen, we are the first people who are putting our money and our prayers on this. And look what God has done. And there's so much more ahead that we just need to pray that God will pour out His Spirit more. I just want to thank you guys that when there was nothing, you guys saw something, and I'm grateful for that.
Hey man, it's like seriously, with a great preacher like you, it can only get better. So. Anyway, thank you so much for joining us for More Than That. And please be reminded that this is not just this is not taking place of the sermon. This is just a supplement. We're supplementing the sermon. So please make sure if you have not listened, go back and listen to the sermon from this last Sunday. It really blessed us. And then also just... if you are in the Williamsport area, please come and join us on a Sunday morning. You're invited. Otherwise, thank you so much. Have an amazing week.